It's Your Health Radio, a special podcast series presented by Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're looking at protein everything. How much do you actually need? Joining me is Kristen Jordan. She's a physician assistant with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Kristen, it's a pleasure to have you join us today. So we've heard about protein. We've heard it highlighted on almost all different food labels now. Is this the most important of the nutrients? Tell us a little bit about protein, why it's important, and why we're seeing it on all the labels.
It's so interesting to see protein soda and protein popcorn. And you're right. It's really been the latest and greatest highlighted nutrient of all of them. Protein's important, but it's not everything. Healthy fats, fiber, there's so many other nutrients that we need. I think that we kind of came from this low-fat, low-calorie spot to get to a high-protein area when we're highlighting nutrition. But really, it's a combination and a balance. Not just protein is important.
I love that you said that. And, you know, we seem to go through these ebbs and flows of these high protein diets and protein on everything, and then tailors back a little bit, and they're, you know, carbohydrates, you need those, you know, so it kind of goes back and forth. But what confuses most people is how much you actually need on a daily basis. If we were to look at the ratios, fats, carbohydrates, proteins, how much protein do people really need?
Great question. And they did up the protein requirements in the most recent dietary studies to say about 0.8 grams per kilogram of protein in a healthy adult. Sometimes you'll see more active adults needing maybe 1.2 grams per kilogram to even 1.8 grams per kilogram. And again, it's based on like the weight that you want to be. So if you're very overweight, you'd tailor it back to a more goal weight. But if you really want to simplify it, maybe 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal will get you to that, the middle of that goal.
That's a great way to put it, because if you are looking at labels, which we all should be, thinking of that 20 to 30 gram in a meal is really the best way to look at it. Now, before we talk about what that means and what that looks like on a plate, how does protein intake affect blood sugar, energy levels, insulin levels, because it's definitely something that maybe someone who's living with diabetes has to be concerned about. Tell us a little bit about how it affects our blood sugar levels.
It tends to keep them a little bit more even and prevent those spikes. One of the latest things with these continuous glucose monitors is for patients to be able to wear them, even if they're not diabetic, depending, and really see where those little spikes happen. And I think that they're much more evident with the high processed carbs. And really, the protein does help level things out and give you good balanced energy throughout the day.
What about muscle loss? And, you know, we women, as we get older and our bone density goes down a little bit, how does protein help to maintain our muscle mass and our bone mass? How does it work that way?
It's a good building block. And you'll notice even in some of the labs that we run, we can see some kind of clues to how well you're doing with protein intake. And it does help build muscle and sustain muscle along with a good workout routine with some weight-bearing exercise. So we really are noticing more and more how important it is in our aging population, men and women. And I think that our healthiest 80 and 90-year-olds do have a good protein intake and are able to stay active because of that.
I think you're right. Now, I think the biggest question people have, and I mean, now we're seeing it in cereal, we're seeing protein plus and all these things, right? And unless you're an athlete and you're taking the protein powder, and, you know, I have a son who's a gymnast, so protein powder was a big part of everything. But for the rest of us, for us normal people, what are the best sources, Kristen, of protein that we can get as we look at all the different foods that are out there? Tell us the ways that we can get it that are going to be, you know, sort of the best sustainable proteins, quality proteins.
Yeah, I think it's kind of boring, but I'd like to highlight the whole foods in this section as opposed to the processed things. I really think it's such a fad to have this high protein popcorn or candy or soda, but really it feels very empty when you're looking at the calories and then the protein content. I think that it's misleading when it says that it has a little bit of protein, like 6 grams of protein, but 300 calories. That's not really what we're looking for. We're looking for like lean meats and fish and Greek yogurt and cottage cheese. A lot of people have different requirements for either dairy-free or maybe they're vegetarian. So they can tailor those protein choices to their dietary requirements. But there's a lot of easy ways to get whole foods that have a lot of protein throughout the day without really making it too complicated or full of powders and processed things.
I agree with you. Now, if someone's a vegetarian or a vegan, what are some of the sources? We used to think tofu, but it really doesn't have that much protein in it. Tell us a little bit about some of the better sources of protein. What are we looking at?
Grains and beans and legumes. Tempeh is a new one that I've seen. I know Trader Joe's has a really good selection of different vegetarian proteins. And I think it's all about getting creative with the cooking and some of the seasonings. But I have a lot of vegetarian patients that do a really good job of getting a good amount of protein daily, and even vegan patients. I don't think that it's impossible. I just think it's about finding the things that you enjoy and cooking them well, and then just sticking with the basics. It doesn't need to be a really complicated recipe or require a lot of ingredients to make it good.
I agree. And I think, you know, the nuts and things like legumes and nuts, like you said, that's really going to be a great way for them to get some of those sources. Now, when we think of a high protein day, if someone's doing this, whether it's for a diet or athletics, whatever the reason, what does that look like for someone on their plate?
Perhaps they'd start with either Greek yogurt and berries and maybe some nuts, or a piece of wheat or sourdough toast and eggs or egg whites. That'll give them 20 or 30 grams of protein in the morning. And then maybe either a turkey wrap, chicken wrap, some type of sauteed tofu or tempeh or whatever vegetarian option they choose, with some lettuce and, you know, some good veggies in there for lunch. And then a snack of cottage cheese or protein shake, and dinner with some veggies. Salmon, chicken, something leaner protein-wise. Really just kind of finding foods that you like and circulating them throughout the day. I know that cottage cheese has gotten a big push lately, and some people love it and some people hate it. But you can find something, Greek yogurt too, that you really enjoy and remake it in different ways throughout the day to meet those protein goals.
To try and really include protein in every meal is what you're saying. And I'll tell you this, my daughter and I discovered it on TikTok or whatever. Greek yogurt and a banana, half a banana, mash that together, add your egg in there. And then, you know, whether you want to do it savory, cheese, or even a little bit sweet, and just bake that or microwave it, and you get this, it's so good. It comes out so good every single time. And the same thing with cottage cheese. You just sort of make these little egg bites. So eggs are really one of the great ways, but there's so many recipes now, right?
Yes.
That people can find all over the place.
And who would think to bake Greek yogurt or bake cottage cheese, or you can get like a good cauliflower base. It's really neat to see with these just a couple ingredient type meals or snacks. And I think your energy and just the ability to make it through the day without always wanting to snack, protein really helps meet that goal better than any other nutrient.
I think so too. So if you had to give people listening one bit of great advice, what are the key takeaways you'd like them to know about including protein, but not to the exclusion of the importance of carbohydrates and fats, and as you say, the whole foods in our diet.
Right, the fiber. I think keep it simple. I think there's so many ways to complicate everything, and my healthiest patients are really the simplest. You know, my older ladies walk every day, and they get protein with every meal, and they're not trying to find a million new recipes or search out the latest protein candy. They're really just trying to keep it simple and to make goals that are sustainable. And that's really what I notice is keeping people healthy later in life.
I agree with you. That is great information. Kristen, thank you so much for coming on, really sharing your expertise and helping people to understand that it doesn't have to be complex. What you said is really the best advice we can offer, is that it doesn't have to be complex. So thank you so much for joining us. And you can always visit our website at henrymayoprimarycare.com for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. You can also visit the free Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital online health information library at library.henrymayo.com. That concludes this episode of It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Please always remember to subscribe, rate, and review It's Your Health Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Pandora. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today.